Luke chapter 16 this morning, Luke chapter number 16, and I appreciate all the good singing, appreciate the testimonies this morning. I'm glad we can still go to church and hear people shout and testify, amen, that's still in order, amen, and a lot of places you go, it's went from being a sanctuary to a mortuary, but it doesn't have to be that way, amen. God's still real and he's still alive and he still saves old sinners, amen. And I'm praying that God will save somebody this morning. If you'll stand with us, Luke chapter number 16. I want to read one verse of scripture out of Luke chapter 16 as we preach from this last Sunday, this same story, but want to deal with a different subject concerning the subject of hell this morning. Luke chapter 16, I notice with me in verse number 23. The Bible says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name that you would speak to every heart, both saved and lost this morning. God, I'm glad that we were reminded that that one earthly reason that you came and died was for sinners. You said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And I pray if there's anybody here lost this morning, no doubt there is, I pray that God, you'll speak to them. May the Holy Ghost deal with their heart. I pray, Father, they'd come to this altar of repentance and be saved by the grace of God. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to draw your attention to this verse of scripture this morning. Of course, if you have read the Bible, if you read Luke 16, you know this is the story that our Savior gives here concerning the rich man that died without God and he went to hell. In fact, verse 22 said, "The rich man also died and he was buried." And when we come to verse number 23, we notice several things about this man. We notice the rich man's burning in verse number 23, because the Bible says in hell. This man is not in heaven. This man is not in purgatory. This man is not in the grave. Amen. But the Bible makes a clear distinction that after he died, his body was buried, but his soul was in hell. And we know that hell is a place. The Bible said in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 43 and verse number 44. And in verse number 47, Jesus said that is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Amen. And so we see his burning. And then we see his being here. The Bible says, "And in hell he," amen. He gives us that personal pronoun that reminds us that this man is still very much alive. His physical life is gone. His body has is now in the ground, but his soul is in the heart of the earth. It's in hell. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, the grave is not the end of it. Amen. You may die and I may die. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment." Well, I'm telling you, verse number 23 is a living a testament of Hebrews 9:27. This man dies in verse 22, and in verse 23, he faces the judgment. Amen. He is still very much alive. His soul is living on. I think about that song that we sing oftentimes. The soul never dies. Amen. And friend, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I want you to know that if you leave this walk of life today, your body will go to the grave. Your body will be in the will be put in the ground, but your soul is going to live forever. Amen. It's going to either live in heaven or it's going to live in hell. But you have a being, an eternal being. And because you have an eternal being, you also have an eternal destiny. Amen. And that destiny is either heaven or it's going to be hell. And so we see the rich man's being and his burning. And then we notice his body. Look at what the Bible said in verse number 23. "And in hell he lift up his" what? "His eyes." Amen. And then if you go the next verse, "He cries to Father Abraham and said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water." And notice this, "and cool my tongue." Amen. So this rich man has some kind of body. He does not have the physical body, but he has some kind of eternal body that is in hell. He has eyes. He has a tongue. He has a mind. Remember where Abraham said in the next verse in verse 25, "But son, remember." Amen. He had the ability to remember. He had a mind. Amen. And so he has some kind of body in hell. You say, what kind of body is that? I do not know. Amen.
just like when a person dies and they go to heaven. We're not some spirit out there floating on a cloud, amen, but we got some kind of glorified body, amen. I'm telling you, when Jesus came back, he had a body, amen. I'm telling you, Moses and Elijah had a body. They were recognized. There's some kind of glorified body for the saved. There's some kind of body for those that die without God. And we notice his body. And then we notice his burden. Look what kind of burden this man is under. In verse 23, the Bible said, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Amen. And you'll notice the word torments is seen all throughout this story in Luke chapter 16. If memory serves me correctly, I think it's about four times you find the word torments there. You know why? Because hell is a place of torments this morning. All kinds of torments in hell. As we mentioned in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, that there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible says that hell is a place of outer darkness. Amen. The Bible said in Isaiah that hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. Hell is below our feet. It is in the heart of the earth, according to the Bible. Amen. In Old Testament times, during the time of this story here, you had the compartment of paradise and you had hell. But when Jesus died, his body went into the grave, his spirit went to be with God, and his soul went to the heart of the earth. And then 3 days later, when Christ came out of the grave, thank God he led captivity captive. That's for those that was in the heart of the earth, and they took them to heaven. Amen. And many of the body of the saints, the Bible said, which slept, they arose, they got up. And hell hath enlarged herself, the Bible says. And so hell is not some figment of our imagination. It's not some story that's been hatched out of Hollywood. But hell is a reality this morning. And the torments of hell are just as real as this place we're talking about. Amen. And so we see his burden. But I want you to notice in verse 23, the Bible said in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And look at this next phrase here, and seeth. I want to preach this morning a few minutes on this subject, on what the rich man saw in hell. What the rich man saw in hell. There's three things in verse 23 that he saw. The Bible said he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now this rich man is in hell, and hell is a place of outer darkness, the Bible says. So the question must be asked this morning, if hell is a place of outer darkness, then how could this rich man see? Well, he saw three things, and I would say on the outset of this sermon that God opened his eyes and allowed him to take a look at what very few souls, if any other souls that have died and went to hell ever got to see. Amen. And we have an illustration. We know that this is true because Jesus is the one that is telling this story. We know it is true because it is in the Bible. Amen. This is not a parable. This is not some illustration. For in parables, no names are never mentioned. But Father Abraham is mentioned. Lazarus is mentioned. Amen. This is a literal place. These are literal people. This is a literal story. And the man that we read about in verse 23, he is still in hell this morning. Amen. Amen. Sinner, if you're not saved, when are you going to get saved? And what is it going to take to get you to God? And will you ever get saved? Will you be numbered amongst the countless souls that has heard the gospel over and over again, and because of pride or prestige or popularity or possessions, you turn God away, only to find out that your day of visitation was over with, your name and your number came up, and it came your time to die, and you died without God unprepared. You see, we know, according to verse number 19, that this man made no preparation for eternity. He must have thought he had more time, because the Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and the Bible said he fared sumptuously every day. He lived every day today as if there was a tomorrow. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I'm telling you, friend, none of us are promised another heartbeat. None of us are promised another day on this earth. We must make preparation for eternity this morning. Now, the Bible said now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You say, preacher, you quote them verses a lot. I do. And I'm going to keep on hammering them. Amen. And because sinners need to know that the hourglass of time is running out very quickly. And friend, we're on the last leg of the journey. And if you're going to get saved, you don't have forever in a day. You must be born again today. Amen. Amen. Got to get in while you can. If you wait, are you going to die without God? I could walk up these pews, and in a few places I could put my hand where people have stood and heard the gospel for the last time and went out into eternity without God. That seat that you are sitting in this morning, you may not be able to fill it tonight, let alone next Sunday. And this man is in hell. It is too late. He has waited too late to pray. And now he sees three things. Number one, he saw a faithful patriarch. The Bible said he seeth Abraham. He saw Abraham. What does Abraham represent? He represents a man who had faith in God. Isn't that right? Romans tells us that Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. Abraham trusted God. Abraham is a picture, a patriarch of the father of faith. Faith is how you get in the family of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Amen. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 gives us the definition of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us how we get faith. Now then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 John 5 and verse 14 tells us that faith gives us victory over this world. And this is a victory that overcometh this world, even our faith. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, if you get saying, you're going to have to believe the Bible. You're going to have to believe in Calvary. You're going to have to believe that for God so loved the world enough that he gave his only begotten son. If you doubt the word of God, if you doubt the work of God, you will surely die in unbelief and go to hell without God. And unbelief is this. Unbelief is choosing not to have faith in Christ. Unbelief is choosing not to believe the Bible. You see, you either choose to believe the story of Calvary this morning, or you choose not to believe it. You either choose to believe in creation or creation's account that God created this world, or you choose not to believe it. And I'm telling you, Abraham represents a man who had faith in God this morning. I believe the gospel message, don't you? I believe that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. I believe Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw a man, I'm talking about an unbelieving man. He sees a man that had faith in God. He sees a man that found God. When God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he stepped out on faith, not knowing where he was going. But what did he do? He followed God. He saw a man that had faith in God. He saw a man that found God. He saw a man that followed God. Sinner, would you hear me this morning? If you're lost and you know you're not saved, will you follow God to an old-fashioned altar? Will you put your faith in Jesus Christ? And will you get born again this morning? See, there's a lot of people sitting in church. No, they're lost. But they will not come. You know, that's how you get in. The message is come. He that is athirst, let him come. The Spirit and the bride, they say, come. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. If you won't come, then you can't be saved. If you say, I'm not coming, God is a perfect gentleman this morning. He'll let you die in your sins without God. You say, but if God loves us, why would he send anybody to hell? He's not sending you to hell. Sin is what sends man to hell. God's trying to save man from hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any would perish, but that all might come to repentance. God's not trying to put people in hell. He's not trying to send people to hell. He's trying to keep people out of hell. What more can God do? He gave you a choice. He gave you a free will, but he also gave his son to die on the cross. And Jesus suffered and he bled and he died for your sins to make a sacrifice and atonement to cover our sins so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. God is interested in saving man from hell, but he will not save man against his own will. He will not save man against his own desire. You've got to come. You've got to ask. You've got to repent and believe this morning if you're saved, if you want to be saved. And Abraham, he saw in this text here a faithful patriarch. And then secondly this morning, he saw a familiar person. The Bible says that he seeth Abraham afar off. Now look at this. And Lazarus. You know who Lazarus represents in this text? Lazarus was a man that was redeemed. A man that was saved. He was a man that was within the reach of this rich man. The Bible says in this same passage of Scripture that he was laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. I mean, how much more could God have done than to put this man literally in the rich man's pathway? He laid him at his gate. He had an opportunity day after day to come by no doubt Lazarus was a believer, and this man had an opportunity. He just desired the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. You know, it's interesting that while he desired the crumbs and the rich man would not give him even the crumbs that fell from his table, when the rich man goes to hell, he wants Lazarus to bring him a drop of water and cool his tongue. Here's a man that had so much in this life, but he has nothing, not even a drop of water in the next life. I'm telling you, friend, that life does not consist in the abundance of things. If you know this morning you're not saved, if you know this morning you need Jesus Christ, I'm telling you this morning, God puts familiar people in your path to witness to you, to tell you, preachers that'll preach the gospel to you, Christians that'll witness to you. If you turn that away, if you don't come one day in hell, you'll remember those familiar people. Amen. I want to say Lazarus represents a man who was redeemed, a man that was within the reach. This rich man could have got saved. Do you realize he could have got saved? If he would have brought Lazarus in and said, Lazarus, I know you're a beggar, but I'll give you more than the crumbs. I'll let you sit at my table. I'm sure Lazarus, Brother Laddie, the conversation would have come up about eternity. But because he never gave him the time of day, he never got saved. I've seen lost people, when you'd witness to them, they wouldn't give you the time of day. I've seen people come to church, and you could tell they were not interested. They didn't want to hear what you had to say before you got up to preach. Friend, if that's you this morning, you're in bigger trouble with God than you know you are. And I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. I'm here this morning. I love you. I want you to get saved. But I want to say something to wake you up. Something I can't really wake you up. It'll take the Holy Ghost to pull the scales off your eyes. But if you're here this morning, so I really, as soon as church is over, I'm out of here. As soon as it's done, I don't like this kind of preaching. I'll go find me a place where they water it down and nobody tells you. I'll tell you something. You can find a place where you can have a religious experience and still die without God and go to hell. You need to be reminded, just like every one of us have to be reminded. Hey, I remember one day when a preacher took that Bible and hung me out over hell and reminded me that I was a sinner. I couldn't save myself. And if I didn't turn to Jesus, I'd surely burn in hell. I thank God for the man that preached to my soul. I'm telling you this morning, you may be here and say, well, I'll never come back. You may not. I pray to God you get saved. But if you don't get saved, I'm going to tell you there'll come a day in eternity when you'll remember every opportunity and every person that ever pleaded with you. You'll have all eternity to think about it. Can you imagine there's people in hell right now while we sit in this church that in their mind, as their body's in torments, they're thinking about invitations that they set in church, opportunities they had. They're thinking about hearing the same songs that some of us have heard, just as I am, without one plea. They're thinking about times that people knocked on their door and gave them a tract and they did not want to listen. They crumbled it up and threw it down or said, I'm not interested. I don't want to hear that. Oh, now they've listened. You know what people that are not saved want? They don't want to be reminded about God. They don't want to be reminded about their need for Christ. They don't want to be reminded that they need to get saved. I'm telling you what hell is. It's a place where there is no God. It's a place, it's a Christless eternity. I'm telling you, if you die without God, nobody will ever give you another gospel tract. Nobody will ever pray over your soul. You'll never hear another gospel sermon. There'll never be another verse of just as I am. There'll never be another person that'll try to point you to the cross. I tell you, if you want a place where there is no mention of God, if you want a place where you'll never be bothered about your eternal state, if you die without God, you'll never again, nobody will ever plead with you again about getting in the family of God. I'm telling you, if you're lost this morning, listen, God has put people in your path. It's not a chance. It's not a circumstance. It's a divine appointment God has put them there. I believe that this morning. I believe when somebody knocks on your door and gives you the gospel, God sent that person by. What you do with that invitation is up to you. I can remember as a boy, a man that my dad went to school with, who I got saved some years later. He got saved at a younger age. God saved him. God called him to preach. I say younger, probably 18, 19, 20, somewhere around that age. And then he went one way, my dad went another. But I can remember as a little boy playing in the front yard. And this man, I was probably about 11, 12 years old. And these two men pulled up in the front yard. They had white shirts on and ties. And they come up there, and this man knew my dad. And my dad asked everybody to come in the house, and we went in and we sat down. I remember we sat down in the floor. And my dad sat down in the floor against the wall. And Billy Blue, who went to school with my dad, he sat down in the floor right next to my dad. And he gave me and my brother and my sister, you know, those little bitty Bibles, paper Bibles, that they were red and white sometimes, and it had the gospel in it. He gave us one of those. And he pulled out his New Testament. I didn't know what a New Testament was. But I can see this in my mind as clear today as it was then. I can see them sitting up against that green panel wall. And he had his testament out. He was taking my dad through that book. I had no idea what that was at that time. But you know what he was doing? It's a familiar person giving him the gospel. I'm telling you, if you're here this morning, you're lost. And God lets you sit under the sound of the gospel. Forget me this morning. I'm nothing. But God lets you sit under the sound of the gospel. Two-thirds of the world's never even heard a clear presentation of the gospel. God lets you come to the house of God, His house, this morning. He's let you hear a gospel message, hear how to be saved, hear the need that you need to be saved. Don't turn that away this morning. What an opportunity for your life to be changed, that God would love you enough. You say, well, I didn't come to get saved. I know you didn't, but God came to save you. I don't think nobody gets up one day and just says, I'm going to go get saved. Well, I'm glad there's a God sitting on a throne in heaven that looks down and says, you know what, that old boy, that old girl needs to be saved. They don't even know they need to be saved. But they're on a highway to hell, and I love them enough. I gave my son to die for them, and I know it's going to interrupt their plans. It's going to probably irritate their flesh. But I'm just going to invade their life and give them the gospel and give them an opportunity to accept Christ or to reject Christ this morning. What he saw in hell, he saw a faithful patriarch. He saw a familiar person. And you know, I wonder, I don't think Lazarus could see the rich man. But the rich man could see Lazarus. If you notice, Lazarus says nothing in this text. The Bible says that he saw Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. God allowed him to see. Sinner, if God allows you to see yourself lost in need of a Savior this morning, you're a blessed individual. And he saw a faithful patriarch. He saw a familiar person. And finally, he saw a fascinating paradise. Because the Bible said he seeth Abraham afar off. And notice Lazarus, and look at the last word, in his bosom. And the word bosom here is referring to paradise. It's where Abraham was. Lazarus was along the side of Abraham in that paradise compartment. That place of rest. that place of where that he rested from his sin, from his labors. Abraham and Lazarus is in a place. In fact, Father Abraham says in the next verse that Lazarus is comforted and thou art tormented. You know, I don't know everything that heaven has to hold, but I know that heaven is a place of comfort. I know it's a place where there is no sin and there is no suffering. I know that heaven is a place where, thank God, the devil is not allowed. It is a place where there is no problems. There's no heartaches. There's no misunderstandings in heaven. Heaven is a place where the sun is always shining, because it's not the S-U-N that lights heaven, but it's the S-O-N. The Lamb of God is the light of that world. It is a place where it is springtime forever. It is a place where there is no pain and there is no problems. And those who are on the other side, thank God they have a glorified body that is far better than any of our bodies. Amen. It is a place where no one wants to ever come back. It is a place of perfect peace and tranquility. It is a place where the presence of God permeates and fills the atmosphere. And the presence of God is on every corner. And there's singing and there's worship and there's angels and there's joy in heaven. Heaven is a place of cheer, and heaven is a place where people are happy and people are enjoying the sunlight of another world. When I think about heaven, thank God, it stirs something on the inside of me. It makes me want to go there. Heaven is a place of no storm clouds. Heaven is a place where there is no graves and there is no cemeteries. And thank God there's no funeral homes. Heaven's a place of no caskets and no hospitals. And no walkers and no doctors are out of business in heaven. There's no nurses on the other side. Heaven's a place of no medication. I'm talking about heaven is a place where everyone on the other side is enjoying the presence of God. There is no night. Thank God there is no shadows. Heaven is a place, thank God, where the people of God and the presence of God is from one end to the other end. And hallelujah, on the other side, they're enjoying the presence of God. That's what heaven is. Oh, heaven's a place where there's no filthiness. Hallelujah. There's no dirtiness. Heaven's a place, thank God, where nobody cusses and curses. And heaven's a place of no profanity. Heaven's a place of no vile. Heaven's a place of holiness, amen. It's a place of love. It's a place of kindness. Heaven is a place, thank God, where everyone knows everybody. And it's one big family around the throne of God. It's an eternal place. It's a glorified place. It's a beautiful place. It is a wonderful place. There's no moth. There's no rust. There's no thieves to break through and steal. Heaven is a place, thank God, that is eternal. It is permanent. Once you get there, thank God, you can live forever and ever and ever on the other side. Hallelujah. Heaven's a lasting place. And when I think about it this morning, it's a fascinating place. The city limits of heaven is 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles tall in cubic form. The wall around that city of jasper. I'm preaching on hell, but I tell you, I want to think about heaven for a minute. That jasper wall is 218 feet high all the way around. And they said if you took the square mileage and you put it all together, you could put 50 billion people just on the bottom level. Now we're talking about just the city limits, amen. And there's a pure river of life, crystal clear. Revelation 22 says it flows down from the very top of that pinnacle of that mountain where the very throne of God is. It runs, my friend, down through there, a crystal pure river with fruit trees of life on both sides of it, bearing 12 manner of fruit. And underneath that jasper wall, thank God, there's 12 foundations of stone, and written in it are the names of all the apostles. Amen. And I'm telling you, on the east and the west and the north and the south, there's gates of pearl, each gate being a solid gate of pearl, the pearl of great price, reminding us every time we go in and out of that city, thank God, we're reminded that this city is a gift to the bride of Christ. Thank God, a pearl. pearl. We are that pearl. Hallelujah. Are talking about on every entrance of that city. And there is no night. Hallelujah. Thank God on the other side. There's a street of transparent gold. And there's a sea of glass. And there's an emerald a rainbow around the throne of God. And there's beasts saying, holy, holy, holy. It is a wonderful place. And I want to go there. I really want to go there, don't you? I want to see Jesus. I want to see God the Father. I'm telling you, and the fishing's probably good in heaven too. Amen. It's not in the Bible. Amen. It's a wonderful place. And it's a reality. But if you're lost, you'll never see any of that. You'll never see that paradise. I thought about this last night when I read that verse. I thought about of all the people that went to hell, probably nothing would be more tormenting in hell than for this man to see. He didn't see heaven, he just saw paradise. To see a glimmer of what God has for those who are saved. Only for God to move it out in the rest of eternity, that man has in his mind where he could have been, but he'll never be because he didn't get saved. Now, I want to say this before we have an invitation this morning. There are some members, there's some visitors here this morning. There are some people, you're not saved. You know you're not saved, and I know you're not saved. And this ain't your first time in this church. You've sat here and you've heard the gospel time and time again. And I do not know what else God can do to get you to this altar to get you saved. It is not my responsibility. I couldn't save you if you came. I'm just a messenger this morning. But I'm telling you, sure as I'm standing here, I know the Holy Spirit put this in my soul this morning. These people sitting in this building, if you don't get saved today, you say, preacher, are you prophet? No, I ain't no prophet. But I'm just telling you, you keep telling God no, you keep ignoring God, you keep sitting in that pew saying, nope, not today, not today. There is coming a day, and it could be today. You need to go home and read Proverbs chapter 1. God said, because I called and you would not answer. Because I stretched forth my hand and you would none my reproof. God said, therefore I'll laugh when your calamity cometh. I'll mock when your fear cometh as a whirlwind. You go home and you read that chapter. It's in there, friend. I'm telling you, the fear of the Lord, that's why before that it said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a good thing when God puts that fear in your heart. Amen. And you know you're not saved. Oh, you better run to the Calvary. You better run to Jesus this morning. If you don't get saved today, you may never get saved. I wonder as we stand this morning. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're not singing 30 verses of Just As I Am this morning. If you're lost today, it's real simple. The Lord loves you. Jesus died for you, and they want to save you. And if you're lost this morning, and you know you're lost, if you'll come, God will save you.